today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ask if she can fix the cavity in your wallet.
So I go in.
Fill that.
And
I didn't mention that I could have taken a French competency exam. Should take an English one.
Yeah, but that was not Mrs. Greer. That was Mrs. Greer.
That's exactly. So,
No charge, but at the time, probably why there wasn't a charge, because I said, okay, hey, thanks for doing that on the fly. I'm glad it was a minor thing, and let's take care of that cavity on the left side while I'm here.
Hey.
And he's like, yeah, and they all light up. Well, we have time.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Friday on the Mike O'Mara Show. We're delighted to have you along with us and in studio, sitting in the spot normally occupied by Oscar Santana. Once again, joining us is the man, Robert Ford, otherwise known as Rofo, who was here last week when you were out sick with the flu, and he's here now that Oscar's doing the little Arizona swing.
Do you know what he is now? He's our there. Tony Randall.
Yes, he was coming across. There's a reference that three people will understand. Explain the Tony Randall to people that wouldn't know.
When talk show hosts would have a last minute cancellation, Tony Randall was somehow always available, and they would call Tony Randall. Perhaps you remember him from the show The Odd Couple, or later Love
Sidney.
I
remember him because I'm almost 60.
But he's still I'd say he's still high up in the great
How
television
old were
stars.
You when The Odd Couple television show was on? And turn your mic up a little bit so I can hear it, because I can't hear you.
It was I think it was canceled when I was 8, but I saw it in reruns. And of course, I have the DVDs.
Is he dead or alive?
He's dead.
He's long since dead.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Klugman also dead.
He died when I was a young man, I believe. Right?
Were you a person of interest in the case?
Let me see when he died. No, I'm not going to look that up. We're not going to spend the first.
No, we're not going to talk about Tony Randall.
I'd like to have some listenership. I really would. Now, are you aware of the thread that was on Facebook where people are clamoring for Rob Spiewak to host a movie show?
I saw it, yes, and I think that they don't know what they asked for.
Can you got to turn your mic up?
Okay.
Rofo, you want to go around the board and show them how to do it?
Turn up gain.
The gain just a little bit. There you go. Just because you do sound far away, and I think it might be from yesterday when we had all the people in.
Okay.
That might be it.
I don't think I'm going to also do this. I think this will help a lot.
Okay, that's good.
That should be better.
That is better. they're clamoring for Rob Spiewak to have a movie show or a pop culture show.
Right.
I know that I'm not sure that Cake and Cookies is a show that that you guys do on a regular basis, because it's problematic. And I'm thinking, we all pivot, right? We all pivot once in a while. And by the way, on a related note, there's another podcast that might be in development that could be coming late summer, early fall next year. And that's my daughter, who
might
be doing a podcast up in
New
York.
Oh, wow. So. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But, as I told her, she's going to have to, get her ducks in a row. But she was talking about
any room for her on the network, or are you going to send her elsewhere?
I think that I'm all for it. Hey, if the Trumps can do it, I can do it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, it's going to have to be good. I'm not going to put her on there if it's not good. So, I mean, that's all there is to it.
Did she elaborate on what she wanted to talk about?
Has a friend of hers who, at this juncture, because we haven't done anything formally yet, we'll go nameless, but her friend is a law student in New York, and they are best buddies, and they are, apparently this lady is very, very funny, and Catherine kind of gets her going, and they've been in talks about doing something about two chicks in New York that are and I should I'm using the word chicks, they didn't and then
she's a fun chick,
and she wants to call me
two broads on Broad Street
with a dad segment
Broadway,
where she would call,
not Broadway, I'm sorry,
screwed it up, he's an idiot,
where she'd call me, and then I'd be dad, and not every show, I don't know. She just talked to me about it. But anyway, the thing, what did you think of the thread? How do you feel when that happens? When people just out of the blue, because of your content on this show, are clamoring for it? These are the people that love you. These are the people that clamor for you and hate me.
No, they don't hate you.
Yes, they hate me. They all hate me.
I'm very flattered. I'm not sure that I have.
No, they don't. I know they don't. I'm just kidding.
I don't think I have the breadth of Hollywood knowledge that I could do it. I mean, I could be very opinionated.
What you wouldn't want to do is you wouldn't want it to be a task.
No, but it's would far be a from task. That.
You do have. What do you mean you don't? You have a tremendous breadth of knowledge.
I mean,
Of old movies.
But it would have to be the movies that I really, really care about. And I'm not sure that people would want to listen to me do 60 minutes on, say, the movie Clue. But I could because I love the movie that bad.
You got me there. That's for sure.
And so, I mean, I think it would be a hard line to walk without truly, truly narrow casting. That's what I thought about it. But there is a podcast that I enjoy very much called Unspooled. And what they do, it's Paul Scheer, who's a comedian, and Amy Nicholson, who is a film writer. And they have a 100-sided die. And every week they roll the die, and whatever number comes up, they go to the AFI Hot 100 list of movies of all time and do an hour and a half.
It's a year that they roll?
No, it's the number of the top 100 movies of all time. And like this week was like they rolled the number 85. Okay.
How's that work?
Because it's a 100-sided die, and the number.
And what do they get with the 85?
They go to the American Film Institute's 100 greatest films of all time,
and they discuss number 85.
Right, and this week was
fun. It was, I like that.
Oh, it's a
That's
great.
Good. Why
podcast.
Don't you do that? Why don't you steal that?
But you see, this what I'm saying is this week they did over 90 minutes.
Then you could watch it. Then you could watch it, and you could do. You know, you wouldn't have to. Well, if you're rolling the die, you got to watch all of them. Have they watched all of them?
They're I think about a third of the way through now.
But, so they watch them.
Yes.
And so they watch them and then do the podcast.
Yep.
I'm so confused. You know what? Let's not talk about other podcasts. Let's talk about you.
But what I think that.
Jesus, that sounds like your cup of tea, though.
But what I wanted to tell you is this week they did between 90 minutes and 2 hours on the movie A Night at the Opera. And I was in heaven. What I kept thinking is, God, Mike would hate this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's really going into the minutia.
I don't like giving credit to people that don't deserve that much credit.
Okay.
I like giving credit to people that I think that really deserve more credit. Now,
they're rolling a dice, watching TV. Who cares?
I watched Groucho, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's silly. It's fun. It's slapstick. Yeah. I think genius is thrown around an awful lot, you know, and I think that it shouldn't be. I have my passions, too. I have my people that I'm passionate about. I really tried to log some time with Groucho. There was a meanness to Groucho that I thought in the comedy.
I agree.
That was just not funny to me. It was just him kind of being clever, you know. You and I have always disagreed on clever is not funny.
Well,
you think clever is funny. I think clever can be clever for clever's sake and not necessarily comedy.
Well, I think clever adds to comedy. I think if comedy is there sometimes, and then you add clever to it in a proper way.
But not all. Like, for example, some puns are funny, you know, some puns, but not all puns are funny.
But that's the thing about a pun. It has to be said to be determined whether or not it's funny. You have to test drive it.
I understand.
And if you're batting 300 on a pun, that's not too shabby.
So, but I mean, does it mean I am intellectually inferior when I turn on the Three Stooges and unhinge my jaw
not
immediately?
At all.
No, no.
And then I watch Groucho, and it's just like I'm watching Groucho with his weak voice do his little thing.
I think it's. You know. I think you're comparing.
I don't like Groucho. I don't like the Marx Brothers. I'm sorry. I never have.
I think you're sort of comparing apples and oranges there.
I like Laurel and Hardy. I don't like the Marx Brothers. Abbott and Costello. I like them. I don't like.
I
the Marx
like
Brothers.
All of these, but I think they all have their different sort of ways that they excel.
You and like Jerry Lewis. I didn't think Jerry Lewis's movies were funny.
That's true. That's true.
And I don't know why, but I mean, because I know a lot of people laugh at them, but I go along with the Dennis Miller line when I interviewed him years ago, and he said, Jerry Lewis never made me laugh when he was trying to make me laugh, but he really made me laugh when he was trying to be serious.
Yes.
And that's exactly how I feel about Jerry Lewis. And I think I may, at this day, in this day and age, be in the majority, but I'm not sure. But that gets back to you doing what if somebody said, Rob, if somebody said, Rob, they're clamoring for you to do an additional podcast, which, by the way, is your call.
Right.
I don't care whether you do it or not, but I'd love it if you did. But how would you format it? What do you think? If you were, say, going to do a half hour podcast.
Right.
You know, because it's always, that's the fun thing about podcasts is that yes, anybody can do them, but nobody can do them well, except a select few
exactly.
Folks that are.
And we have the facilities that I could actually do it.
Yeah, you could do it if you wanted to, and you could even do it at home if you wanted to. So I'm curious, what if you had a half hour podcast after reading that thread where people were saying, talk about movies, talk about pop culture, what would you do? Because I like that. When people are talking about people I work with like that, that makes me, here's a bulletin. That makes me happy.
Aww,
thank you.
That's
sweet. So,
true. I will add this. I read the thread. I will not do a podcast about food. All right. I know I'm fat. I don't need a half hour of radio
time.
Yeah,
that was kind of stereotyping you.
Yeah. Very rude.
I think.
Thank you, Ropo. Rob Ford is our guest. He'll be paneling with us for the entire show today. And it's already brought me great joy.
Mike, if you get out your protractor, he is part of the comedy triangle today.
Look at this.
The talk triangle.
What the hell? Yeah. You know, seriously, this shouldn't be a podcast today. This should be three guys on the side of a moving truck.
That's exactly right.
I mean, this is three fat guys.
The only three stooges.
I should have shaved my head to come in today. We would have been.
Talk about three
fat white guys.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow.
Put us in a row. It looks like before, during, and after.
Oh, my God. We got enough methane on this show today to power a small country.
So if I were to do a movie podcast, and I think that that's what I'd like to do, not so much pop culture, but focus on movies.
How would you format the movie?
I think I would have to have a co-host.
Oh, I have it. I have it. Yeah, and by the way, co-host, I'm down with, because I like to work collaboratively too. It's the only way I like to work.
I agree.
I like to have a discussion with other people. I'm not a bloviator, and if I had been a bloviator, maybe I could have translated that into a few more dollars for my family.
Well,
and I would have been able to buy my kid into Georgetown. I mean, that would have been something.
I don't think Lori Loughlin is a bloviator.
But she married that money.
That's true.
But I mean,
that's true.
What I'm referring to are the bloviators, a la the Limbaughs, the Hannitys, the O'Reillys, who amassed fortunes basically telling everyone what they should do and who they should vote for and what their opinions are. I can do a good monologue, but I prefer to have a little give and take. So I love the idea of collaborative.
I agree.
I love the idea. I have an idea for the movie. How about you pick a movie each week? Or people submit movies to you and you watch it.
Right.
You don't have to know the movie, but they submit it to you. You'll know whether, you get 30 movies. But you do it and you discuss it.
Ideally, what I would love is a submitted movie that I have seen, but haven't seen in a while. So I could rewatch it so it's fresh. For example,
unfortunately, though, that number is 11. That's a season.
And
of
then
the
on to hiatus. No, but there's
what movie? What do you think? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Not at all.
What movie do you think would be your debut episode? A movie that you could talk about with somebody else for a half an hour that would be amazing.
Well, there's a lot of obvious choices. I mean, the things that jump to mind are movies like Casablanca, which I could watch a thousand times. Gone with the Wind, which I watch once a year regardless anyway. And there's problems with it. Trust me, I know it's not a perfect movie. It's just a movie I like very much. I could probably do Citizen Kane, but I'd like to do something a little more obscure. And there is one movie that no one has ever seen, but it's a really great film because it has a lot of the 1940s Warner Brothers stars in it, except for Humphrey Bogart. It's like a Humphrey Bogart movie without Humphrey Bogart. It's called The Mask of Demetrius. And it has Peter Lorre and Sidney Greenstreet, who you would know as the fat guy from every Humphrey Bogart movie. And it is really a strong motion picture, but it's for some reason sort of underrepresented. I would love to watch and discuss that.
Okay. I'm not interested. Okay.
I'm gone
when he started with it. Because you know what I watched yesterday?
I watched about half a Bandwagon last night, Mike, based on your recommendation.
Oh, wonderful. I watch golf, and then when golf goes to commercial, I go to Turner Classic Movies.
Right.
I'm not, and sometimes I get engaged with the movie, and I come late to the golf tournament.
Uh-huh.
But they did a feature in between films where they were talking about a movie, and it was Network. And this guy, this nerdy guy comes on. You've probably seen this on TCM.
Yeah.
They've got a nerdy guy who breaks down all the details of Faye Dunaway.
Is he wear glasses?
And Peter Finch. And yeah, he wears glasses. He's a super nerdy looking guy.
That's Ben Mankiewicz. He's one of the hosts.
And he's book him on the show. Get him on the show.
Oh, God, yes. I love that. Yes.
Yeah, this guy broke down all the details for these movies. And what the problem is when you go that far back, I think it's just not... It doesn't have a sizzle factor. You know what I mean? It really
I understand. It's
been
and you
done
know what?
A thousand times.
Network would be a great one because you know what? It's not that old of a movie. I know it's 40 right. years old, but here's the thing. Anytime you drop that disc in or watch it on a pay channel or whatever, it is truer now than it was then.
Because then it was what they were talking about.
It was like a scary sort of dystopian think of what this could never really happen in TV news.
I have another idea for a podcast.
Okay.
Rob Spiewak Things I Love.
Will you be my first guest?
Yes, I'll come on the first.
I would love that.
I'll do the debut. Things I Love. Episode 1, microphones.
Yes.
Episode 2, old movies.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 3, and it could involve food.
Episode 3, puddings.
Episode 3, you could do it. You could do a half hour on fruitcake.
Oh God!
You could do it on how it started with fruitcake.
Yeah.
So I've got three. I've got three episodes. Episode 4, performing in front of small children, which you're doing again this weekend.
Tonight is the night. If you are in the Loudoun County area, I encourage you to come and see the Balls Bluff Elementary Talent Show.
And whose balls will bluff? That's the question.
Call my bluff. That's our motto.
Balls Bluff. Balls Bluff also was a film in the 1970s that starred Seika and Vanessa Del Rio that you might want to check. Now, how come you are still doing the elementary school? Are you incapable of saying no to these people that
I made
clamor for you? Are you the MC?
I am the MC. No, Mike, I'm an act. I hope you like bird calls.
You're coming out again to, sorry about the coming out.
That's right.
That could be a show. But anyway, you come out on stage and you MC the children?
Host and bring the kids out. And we've got, I think, 16 acts this year.
How many times have you done it?
This, I believe, is my 7th year. I made a promise to Christy, a friend of mine,
Christy?
Christy Talamy from the Supper Club. We have kids who are the same age, roughly. Julia and Claire are the same age, and Robert's a little
college
older
age.
And Jackson. But they grew up together, but she's got a kid that's in second grade. And so she's going to run this talent show as long as he is at the elementary school, which is, I am counting, 3 more years.
So
and
this then is a dear done. Friend. This is years and years and years.
Yeah, it's a
this
very
is a friendship,
good friend.
The Supper Club, all the folks that you've known. For years and years, and you have committed to do this again. What will you be wearing?
Tonight, I will be wearing Halston.
What are you going to be wearing, seriously?
Tonight, a sport jacket, no tie.
Okay. Yeah. No tie?
No All tie.
Right. How do you go over when you do this? I forgot. Is this the,
how do I go over? I drive and just go in the back door? And
No. Stop
no.
It.
You mean how does the act play? Yeah. I will say this. There are some jive jokes. I make some of the same jokes every year. I usually make a Wade Byard joke because these are all Loudoun County parents. But the things that I
How does the Wade Byard go over?
It plays strong. It
he
plays
knows the strong. Room. He knows the room.
Know your crowd. Know your crowd. Right. The things that I've always savored are the times, and there's only been a few, that I've actually gotten booed for a joke. And those are the ones I love the most. And I'll tell you two of them. A lady sang a song from Adele, a young lady. I think she's second or third grade, sang an Adele song. And she came up and I said, "That was terrific. Let's hear it for her." And I do the thing where you hold your hand over the kid's head and people know the clap.
Yes,
and it's wonderful.
Yes.
And I said, "That's off Adele's new album, 21, which, as you know, was named after her neck size." And
you can't do a fat joke in front of moms.
And
like
then
that.
there was sort of I was
and, they
and
booed.
Then it started as a grumble and it turned into a solid.
You body shamed somebody on stage at an elementary school.
Absolutely.
I would be fist bumping in the back. That's a great. If I was a room, big pop.
And then I just sort of did a Letterman collar tug. I said, "Folks, these are the jokes, you know."
Right. Yeah, that's a little over the line.
And the other time I got booed.
For an elementary school audience.
The other time I got booed is a young lady, I think she was fourth or fifth grade, played the theme to Harry Potter on the piano. And for this, a little showmanship, she had on a witch's hat and had a broom. And after she played
great,
the piano.
Great idea. Great gig.
She came over to, you know, and after they do their act, I usually have a little interplay with the kids, a little Bob McAllister moment. And I said, "Hey, can I borrow that broom? I think my wife needs it for a ride home." And that got booed as well.
And you wonder why you're in your current state of affairs. All right. So anyway, you know what? My God.
They keep asking them back, though.
They do.
Yeah, that's right. Rob Spiewak.
That and many other jokes tonight at 7 p.m. Balls Bluff Elementary.
That's right, and it's why you are the most interesting man in the world.
That's it.
That's why they want
a podcast, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, want to welcome everybody to Balls Bluff Elementary School. So little Johnny walks up to his mom, and he says to his mom, hey, where do babies come from? She says, little Johnny, the stork brings them. He says, well, who f***s the stork? Thanks, we'll see you next week. All right, start the show. God.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
There's two keys to success in the broker business. First of all, you got to stay relaxed.
Yeah.
You jerk off. Do I jerk off? Yeah. Yeah, I jerk off, yeah.
How many times a week?
Like three, four times, maybe.
I gotta pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket. I myself, I jerk off at least twice a day.
Wow.
Once in the morning, right after I work out, and then once right after lunch.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to. That's not why I do it. Mm-hmm. I do it because I fucking need to. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You're dealing with numbers all day long. Mm-hmm. Decimal points, high frequencies, bang, bang, bang. Fucking digits. All very acidic, above the shoulders, mustard shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of can wake some people out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to feed the geese to keep the blood flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I keep the rhythm below the belt.
Done.
This is not a tip. This is a prescription. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you will fall out of balance, split your differential, and tip the fuck over. Or worse yet, I've seen this happen, implode.
No, I don't want to implode, sir.
No, you don't.
I'm in it for the long run, you know?
Yeah, implosions are ugly.
Yeah.
Pop off to the bathroom, work one out anytime you can, and when you get really good at it, you'll f***ing be smoking it, and you'll be thinking about money. Second key to success in this racket is this little baby right here. It's called cocaine.
Right.
It will keep you sharp between the ears. Mm. It'll also help your fingers dial faster. And guess what? That's good for me. Revolutions. You follow?
Revolutions.
Keep the clients on the Ferris wheel. And it goes. The park is open 24/7, 365. Every decade, every goddamn century. That's it. Name of the game.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
That's a classic film with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall called The Wolf of Wall Street.
That's it.
Fantastic. Live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is The Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMO, is to our friends, a worldwide podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you are one of our dedicated, longtime listeners, you are the engine that keeps this thing going each and every day, and we are eternally grateful. From Arcade, New York, to Vader, Washington, from Fort Dodge, Iowa, my favorite town this week, to Stafford, Virginia, from Rome, Italy, to Gaul, Sri Lanka. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, and that previous message, that clip from Wolf of Wall Street, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial.
Thank you.
Interest rates are down a full percentage point from their peak last fall, thanks to the economy slowing down. The Fed has taken a less aggressive approach. It implied that there will be at most two rate increases,
Robert,
instead of the four that they had originally predicted. What does that mean? Rates are going to be back around 4%, and with the spring home market right upon us, it's time to act now. Whether you are buying, refinancing, or consolidating debt, Cornerstone guarantees you the lowest rate. Work with the friends of TMOS, and you can save some dough in the process. Now licensed in California, along with Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website, visit cornerstonefirst.com, or call them at 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. I had a bit of a drag of a day. Thursdays are normally, you work, and then I take care of business that's not related to the show, but sometimes it's.
And
but
you also
I,
have
I
the second,
out.
You've got the second show. You've got Political Persuasion, so that throws a dent into it as well.
It's a long day, but there's a lot. It's really not a long day broadcasting-wise, but it's just I always schedule stuff on Thursday.
Right.
Whether it's meetings, whether it's appointments, and, down here, I like to do the show and get out in the Florida sunshine. I don't like to do.
That's why you live there.
The stuff. I do not care to do, especially if it's something that has anything to do with medicine. I don't like it.
Well, and yesterday, luckily you don't deal with doctors very much.
Yeah, not at all. Yesterday was a trip to the dentist. And when I went to my my fabulously wealthy dentist's office, the dentist's office that looks like it was carved out of, rare woods with moldings and doors Bolo. And everything.
Painted ceilings. Beautiful. Ionic.
But my wife likes the place. They're all the same, relatively the same price point.
Okay.
Because if he was $10 more, I'd be out of there. I'd be like, oh, $10 more. I am out of here. I didn't do that. I actually really, really, really enjoy the professionalism of the net. They got great equipment. They're good. They're good. But they are all about the sell. They're all about the sell. It's just their nature. It's the way they do it. Okay.
Is it set up like our Fairfax dentist where you get like 40 seconds with the head guy? And then there's lots of people running around that do all the stuff.
It's tons of people running around. It's a bigger office than our guy in Fairfax. And they come to you and I get my, back in October, I got my, no, I thought it was December. I got my annual cleaning. And, and in fact, that was a bone of contention yesterday. So when was your last cleaning? December? I said, yeah, I think it was December. No, it says here October. I said, no, I don't think it was that far back. I think it was actually in December. I think I got another one in October, but I'm not sure.
Written it down?
They've got their computers. But to make a long story short, when I got my cleaning, I had a cracked bonding on my right tooth.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ouch.
A long time ago, I got my teeth fixed here. Okay. Uh-huh. So they're longer because they were short and I look like a rabbit. I look like that guy on the... on one of the TV commercials with the big white teeth that kind of goes, yeah, and my wife likes it too. You know, I don't know, forget it. So I've got
teeth keep growing like a rat's though, don't they? So if you don't use them.
No, I just wanted to even them out. People do this with bonding to even out. I had shorter teeth. I didn't like the rabbit look. This is 30 years ago I did this.
All right.
And I talked about it when I did it. So I get that fixed. I get that repaired. And in the meantime, they've taken their x-rays, their annual x-rays they take and say, you got a cavity up here. Well, they're relentless. They are relentless. So they said, when I get the cleaning, he said, now you ought to schedule that cavity. There's a little, I said, I don't feel anything. The tooth feels fine. Everything's good. Well, you know, it can graduate to something worse. And so I said no at that point. Then I come back in to get my bonding fixed and they're doing the full court press again. They're doing the full court press with the, you know, there's that tooth.
Yeah, they've really got that in the chart. They've got that in the chart, but not the last time you got a cleaning.
Yeah, they've got that in the chart with a giant dollar sign.
Sure.
And by the way, back in the day when I had a company that paid medical and dental, when I had a dental plan.
Yes.
Knock yourselves out. Do it today. Do it. Put a crown on, you know, put false teeth in. Give me the Da Vinci veneers. Well, no, that's a cosmetic. That would have been out of pocket. So I let them do it. Now.
You think it's about like, it. Sure.
It's an as-needed situation. Oh. I'm sorry. And I said, well, it's kind of an as-needed. She said, well, that can be problematic. I said, well, so can not having any money to pay my rent.
Ask if she can fix the cavity in your wallet.
So I go in.
Fill that.
And last week, I feel pain on my tooth.
Oh, and you know where the cavity is, right?
And I call them, and I said, you know, it's time. But I don't want to call them saying... I have pain. I want to call them and say I'm coming in for the previously scheduled because that's where I thought it was. So I call them and I say, I need to come in because I've got some pain. It's on the right side. Oh, yeah. You have a cavity. I said, yes, it's the right side. I get in yesterday. I walk in and the lady sits me down. And she said, so how are you doing today? I said, well, I knew I was scheduled to get this procedure done. And I think I was a little tender last week. And she said, are you pointing to your right side? I said, yeah. She said, well, the cavity's on your left side. I said, oh, no. Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm sorry, but the pain I'm getting is the right side. Well, we've got some decay on the left side. I said, and now I'm starting, even at that moment, I'm starting to get a little tense. I mean, I understand that your previously scheduled x-ray financial advisor situation is that it's on the left side. I have pain on the right side. And at this point, the hospital administrator comes in. The doctor comes in, right? And he walks in and he goes, so we understand we got a cavity on that left side. I said, yes, but hold on. Stop. Everyone just
He comes in. Hi, Mike. Listen. I'm a rock star and we're going to close the deal. Where's the pain?
So he says, I said, the pain's up here. He said, well, let me take a look. Okay, let's see. Don't see anything up there. The only thing I'm seeing is you do have. Yes, a cavity on the left side. I know that! You bastards! This is all inside. They're very pleasant. They're very professional. I'm having this discussion within myself, you know. Stop talking about the cavity on the left side. And by this time, I'm really feeling the Irish pressure.
Yeah, and why
it's like almost
that
Irish guilt.
And why shouldn't they be happy? Because you've basically come in with a big blank check. Because
I wanted to get fixed. And by the way, it stopped hurting about the end of last week.
Okay.
After I had scheduled the appointment. So I tell him that too. So he's looking at it. He goes, there's might be a little grinding. Might be putting some pressure on there. Your bite is not perfect back there. So I'm aware of that. He says, and then he lays this one on me. He said, have you been experiencing any more stress than normal? I said, what the f***? Are you Dr. No, Dr. Freud. I haven't. Life's actually been pretty ducky. You know, pretty A-OK fine. You know, had a little flu. Outside of that, everything's been hunky-dory. Had a little vacation. Life is good. I'm happy. And he says, well, here, and then he does the bite check, right, where he puts a little plastic there and you bite down.
Yeah.
And he gets a little tenderness with the biting down. And it turns out, he said, it might be a little undue pressure at night. I'm gonna bring it down a little bit, bring one down, bring it out. And he does it, and he does it. And they didn't charge me, which I thought was pretty
really?
Amazing.
What, when you say
pretty
bring it?
Amazing.
What do you
I mean
bring it down?
He filed the tooth a little bit. Where the tooth was, where the bite, I didn't even need any drugs.
Well, I guess the tooth itself isn't. It's just tooth, and as long as you just do the tooth, you should be fine.
I don't know.
He kind of filed it down. No, this is he's well, a
like
pro.
A, like a nail
doing.
File? What
no, not of? A nail file. Like a file that they like the thing. And they do a little. He said this will vibrate a little bit like that. And he says, "How's it feel now?" And you know what? Feels good.
That's
feels
awesome.
Pretty good.
And no
so
charge.
I think he fixed it. No charge. But at the time, I you know probably why there wasn't a charge because I said, "Okay, hey, thanks for doing that on the fly. I'm glad it was a minor thing." And let's take care of that cavity on the left side while I'm here.
Hey.
He's like, yeah. And he, you know, they all light up. Well, we have time. And we will take a break. When we come back, I will tell you the officially now what is the worst part of the dentist for me, but I'm hesitant to tell them about it. And I'll tell you about it when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Fritz with Political Persuasions.
Hi,
this
Chris.
Week, Mike and I talk about the latest Democrat to join the field of 14,000, Beto O'Rourke, the college cheating scandal, and Nancy Pelosi says no to impeachment. But does she mean it? Tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Get a look at Chris this week. He's going to be having a baby. Anyway, I'm sorry. You know, he doesn't like to talk about that.
He has a beard. He has a new look.
Yeah, he does. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, speaking of dentists, brushing our teeth every day is one of the most important things we can do for our health. But amazingly, most of us don't do it right. Quip is the better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers to make brushing your teeth simpler, more affordable, and yes, even enjoyable. Quip features sensitive sonic vibrations that are gentle enough for even sensitive gums, not abrasive like some electric toothbrushes.
I love my Quip, and I just got in the mail this week my brush head replacement.
Ooh.
And it comes with instructions to clean the Quip as you change your brushes so you always have nice bristles, and they send you a battery. You don't have to charge it. It's the best toothbrush system out there. I adore it.
Quip also has built-in timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, because up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes, which you're supposed to, and we don't clean evenly. Rob and I use Quip because it guarantees that I am brushing my teeth the right way every
yes.
day. That's why I love Quip, and that's why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/TMOS right now, you get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/TMOS. And we thank you.
Love
Teeth
Quip.
Seem to be the order of the day.
Yes, so. Indeed.
Now, I'm an old man, and I come from a day when the dentist's office was not a pleasant experience. Where
do you remember back
medicine,
when drills, you could actually see the strings and the gears and the pulleys? I went to we had a really bad hack dentist when I was growing up, and I never had a cavity in that era, but I remember seeing that drill, and it looked like something
Ooh.
From a Frankenstein movie, because it
My
was
dentist,
so mechanical.
My dentist, Rob, had an antique drill in his office.
Oh,
like as a novelty. Do you know
what a fun guy?
When you're 10 years old and you walk in and you see that monstrous piece of equipment, and Dr. Novi sadistic bad breath Dr. Novi.
Hey, you can't spell Novocaine without Novi.
Bald is a cue ball. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. So you would think that what is the problem with it is, I don't like the drilling. I don't like this. No, I know that modern Novocaine, that they improve these anesthetics on a regular basis.
I think it's actually, is it lidocaine that they use now? There's another cane they use.
No, I have a new name. I have a new name for you. But okay. I will tell you that my least favorite thing about the dentist is the after effects of the Novocaine. I do not believe that when you're getting a tiny little cavity filled, that you should go till 8 o'clock that night.
Yes.
Not being able to feel your left side
yes.
in its entirety.
Uh-huh.
It was so, and I said, I remember I'm in the chair and he has numbed me to the point of I'm not going to exaggerate to make it funny. I'm going to tell you exactly what he did. He numbed my upper tooth so much that I was numb into my nose.
Yeah.
And to the extent where I felt like, I can't get the good breathe to it.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, so how are we doing? Are we feeling like any pain there? We're not feeling any pain, but I would tell you, you seem to have overdone. And then as I'm doing that, he puts all the crap in my mouth and
yeah.
they're sucking this out. I feel when I'm in the dentist, what I hate is the feeling of claustrophobia and suffocation because they put all that crap in your mouth and you're numbed up and then they decide they're going to have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a, you know, how about those Red Sox? I said, is Novocaine any better now than it has been in the past? Because it seems to me that The last time I've gotten my Novocaine, it's stronger, doctor. And he understands when I say, well, he's, you know, well, in fact, yes, it is stronger now than it's ever been. In fact, it's not really Novocaine. We call it Septocaine. I said, well, if I went back into his office, I said, well, it lasted all night. I mean, I'm sitting there going, you know, and for some reason, maybe because I'm a fat guy, that when I get... when I get a dental procedure,
hey, what are
I've
you?
Got Novocaine. I'm a fat guy. Right after I get the tooth filled, and they say, now listen, you might not want to chew for a couple of hours because you'll chew up your cheek and you don't want to do that. That's like telling me, that's like a little ding going off in my head that says, oh, hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry.
Yep, same way.
I went through it once.
It's ridiculous.
And I had to eat because I hadn't eaten all day, so I got a sandwich.
Well, and you have to maintain. You need your calories.
Oh, Mike, I get very nervous and forgetful right. if my blood sugar dips.
What about you, Rofo?
I mean, I have to eat, too, and I'm biting chunks out of my cheek left and right after I
but
get
I
those procedures done. And my problem is I always will I'll tell them to give me a second shot of the stuff because I never
because you like to be super you don't
no,
want
no, no.
even that slight electric pain.
Well, no, I never trust that they did it right the first time because I think I had a bad experience where they didn't quite get the zone that I needed.
I think anybody that's gotten a lot of dental procedures yeah. they do that where they're drilling and you're like no.
Yeah, I think that it is. I think the doctor thinks they're doing you a courtesy when they give you extra because it's truly painless dentistry. But I just couldn't go any longer, and I was being so careful not to bite my cheeks up. I remember looking down and seeing sandwich falling out of my mouth because I had no control of my motor skills. And this is hours after the procedure.
Yeah,
that's number one now. So, but I'm hesitant to say who would have the idea that you'd walk in and go, listen, can you go easy? You know, it's like it's a cocktail, you know. Can you just give me a little extra water? I want a light one. Give me a light one. Pour me a light one. I'm really ready.
Like Bill
if
Murray
I ever have to
in Little Shop of Horrors. He was yeah. into it. He liked the pain.
I
now
want
we
a
have
long,
to do- yes.
slow root canal.
Dull.
But I cannot believe how numbed I was. And the stuff is called, I wrote it down, Septocaine. Septocaine. I said, does that have anything to do with sewage?
Oh, septic.
Like a septic.
Yeah. Secret ingredient.
Yeah.
Isn't sepsis like what kills people
yeah, but
with infections? Isn't that a nasty SEP?
Oh, it's the
that?
Worst.
It's a blood infection.
Right. Thank you. Oh, thank you. The vampire in the production room has weighed in with it is a blood infection.
Mr. I will not be going outside until after the sun dips below the mountain.
Thank you very much.
Septocaine, Mike, is actually spelled S-E-P-T-O, cane, And maybe it has something to do with the numbers.
Septocade. I'd like you to keep that needle in my gum for 14 minutes. Septocade.
I'm wondering if it has something to do with the number 7, because sept is Latin for 7. So I'm checking right now to see what it is. And it says, how long does Septocade last? That's the first question answered
Septocaine, by it. Septocaine, it was just, that is my all-time pet peeve. I don't know whether I'd have the gumption to tell the doctor, can you kind of go easy on it? And because I don't like that electric pain you get when you've got a nerve, you know, a nerve being hit. That's not cool.
I have in front of me a list. I have a list here of the side effects of Septocaine. If I list them, can you tell me which ones you experienced yesterday?
All right, go ahead.
All right. Tongue pain or swelling?
No.
Facial swelling?
Little bit.
Headache?
No.
Mouth sores?
No.
Nausea?
No, because I was starving. I was hungry.
Vomiting, constipation, or diarrhea?
That's every day.
I know.
That has nothing to do with the Septocaine.
Upset stomach or increased thirst?
No.
Drooling?
Yes.
Nervousness?
Never.
Dizziness?
Yes.
Drowsiness?
Yes.
Ear pain or earache?
No.
Neck pain?
No.
Joint or muscle pain?
Well, that's related to me waking up in the morning.
Unusual or unpleasant taste in your mouth?
That's every day as well.
Numbness or tingly feeling?
No.
Mild rash or itching?
What do you mean numbness? Well, of course numbness. That's the whole process. You may experience numbness. Well, that's the idea. You want to experience numbness. That's the way that works.
I can't believe they use it. Listen to this. Sore throat, shallow breathing, shallow heart rate, weak pulse, swelling in your face, bleeding gums, anxiety, confusion, restlessness, tremors, blurred vision.
Can I tell you something? I probably did have the shallow breathing because I was stressed out.
Wow.
Because you're sitting there and they're numbing up and you're like, what are they, you know, what's the end game? What if they numb up everything? What if it goes into your nose, then your tongue, then your mouth, then your lungs, then everything? And you're like,
this stuff sounds like poison. I'd stay away from it.
He was good because you know what? The after effects of usually the only pain I get is where they put the needle in. And you know, this is true. Have you ever had a cavity? Have you not? Yeah. Are you one of those people?
No. I didn't get a cavity until later on. But remember, I went a long time without going to the dentist. And that's when a lot of stuff went down.
Hi to Dr. Dana, who used to give Novocaine. And when Dr. Dana would give Novocaine, he would like put the needle in through your earlobe. It was just, I mean, right? Am I right? Where you would have that pain from where he put it in. He's like, yeah, I want to make sure. His idea was, this guy was a magician yesterday, Dr. Eric.
Dr. Eric
was a good guy. I liked him. I actually requested him after the fact. He's a big podcast guy.
Oh,
and he said he's going to listen. So I hope it's not today. But anyway, you know, and then afterwards, I'm a little, because of the Novocaine, I'm a little goofy.
Septocaine.
The Septocaine. And they've got the big office with like 6 people behind the desk and they're all, and I get my bill.
Open chairs or closed chairs?
What do you mean open
chairs?
I mean,
like, are the chairs all like where you can see the patient next to you or?
No.
Okay, good. I don't like that.
No, it's not like, I hate that.
I hate that at chiropractors too.
Yeah, you actually have an individual. I go out to pay and I'm out there and I'm paying. And it says $420. That's how much it costs to get it done. That's expensive, right?
Yeah.
That's expensive to get the procedure. But it's, you know, to be honest with you, with modern dentistry, I was looking at it and I was saying to myself, well, better than it could have been.
Right.
All the other stuff that he did, if he charged me, I was just terrified.
Says to me, he might have sort of charged you for the other thing.
Who knows? You know what? But it was $420 even.
Uh-huh.
And I do like 10 minutes on $420. And like I said, so this bill, it says $420 even. Does that mean, and I noticed that it's 7 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. Is there something going on here? So you guys all going to gang up when I leave? And I see the shoulders on the, like the younger lady in the back, like going up and down. I said, yeah, she knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
$420. And I look at the guy at the counter because I'm just feeling goofy and relieved, right?
You're glad that it's over.
And the guy's name is, I think something like Jason or something. I said, Jason. Bill says $420. You're the guy that printed it out. And I paused. I'm just goofy and I don't care. There are old people out in the lobby. I said, you a pothead, Jason? and I get the big laugh from like the entire office. And then I go outside and they can hear me in the lobby too.
Right.
But it really didn't go over in the lobby because there is a man sitting by the door waiting to get a dental procedure. And this is the look on his face. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I was tempted to take two fingers and put it on his artery to see if
check
there was
for
still
his life.
A pulse.
Yeah, well,
you know, and I went on my merry way. But Novocaine is the number one issue. So that's it. That's my thing with a dentist.
So everything feels good now?
Everything feels actually.
Ah, that's great.
Oh no, everything's fine. Everything's A-okay.
Super well, I'm glad they got wonderful. That worked out. But it sounds to me like they might have built that free grinding into the filling.
Rofo, do you get regular cleanings and checkups?
Every 6 months.
Boy.
How many cavities have you had?
A couple.
A couple? How many cavities have you had in your life? I bet you can count them.
Three. Jeez. But you know what? I've had some major dental surgery that I think makes up for it because I didn't floss for so long.
Oh, that's right. You had to get like periodontal disease stuff.
They cut hunks of the roof of my mouth off and grafted it over my gums because I had such bad receding. And you know what? I'll take a filling any day over that.
Oh, I bet. Wow, that's horrible. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to The Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi, this is Sully from Dorchester, Mass. A TM Watts listener since 2004, the year the Sox broke their curse. Do you want to throw a wicked awesome St. Paddy's Day party? Then get your green cups, your saucers, your hats, your tablecloths, your streamers by clicking on the Shop Walmart tab on MikeO'MearaShow.com. Get delivered. And you don't have to deal with all the traffic on the Central Artery. It's a freaking nightmare getting to Saugus. Now, for the beer and liquor, you still need to go to your local package store. But for everything else, remember, go to the Mike O'Meara Show Shopping Center. And now, back to the Grand Marshal of this parade, diehard Sox fan, and a good Irishman, Mike O'Meara.
Hey, little Mikey, you like golfing with your father? You like golfing with your father? Yeah, all right, Mikey.
One of the one of the local denizens down there.
Probably my favorite guy to play golf with.
Really,
has the thickest Boston accent you will ever hear. He's a wonderful human being.
Is he a year round guy or does he go back to Boston?
I'm not even sure, but he's it's thick. It's
that's
thick.
Awesome.
And he's like the one guy that sees my kids, super nice to him. I love the guy. That's for you, Gino. I know you don't listen to the show. Welcome back, everybody. This portion of our program brought to you by Joybird. With Joybird, you get one of a kind furniture made to your unique taste. Shop online and turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles, colors, fabrics, and options. They have a wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options, plus free personal design consultants to achieve your perfect design. Each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision using high-quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specs. And every piece comes with a limited lifetime warranty. Try the 365-day home trial. Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it for a full refund. Plus, hassle-free in-home delivery. They'll even remove all the packing materials. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy at joybird.com/TMOS. Go to joybird.com/TMOS and receive an exclusive offer, 25% off your first order by using our code TMOS. I cannot get out of this week without congratulating your daughter.
Oh, thank you.
You know, with all the crap going around in the news with colleges, we have to say on her own merit, Julia Spiewak was accepted to Rob's alma mater, VCU, this weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you.
There's the Rams theme song right there, the VCU Rams.
And I have to say this, you know, you sometimes will take shots at American because you were accepted there. I take shots at VCU because I was accepted there.
Right.
But I have to say this, based on her grades and her portfolio, she was accepted to the VCU Arts program, and that's an entirely different animal than humanities and sciences.
Is that kind of like when you talk about Syracuse University and the Newhouse School of Broadcast
exactly.
Journalism?
Oh, pardon me.
Okay.
V!
All right. Yep, there we go. All right.
C! U! VCU! VCU! Go! Rams, go!
Yay.
So it is one of the highest regarded art schools on the East Coast and in fact the country. And she had been accepted in the other two schools that she had applied to.
Mm.
But we were really hanging waiting on pins and needles for this acceptance because this is her first school. And for me as a dad, I would be proud to go for her to go where I went. I also think that Richmond from the DC area is the perfect distance.
Oh,
for a
perfect,
school
yeah.
to be away because
absolutely.
I could still get down there in 2 hours.
So
if I
happy
two hours,
for you
two
guys.
Hours,
that's
right.
awesome. I mean, really, that's just awesome. And, you know, she's a talented kid, and I just can't imagine how thrilling it must be. I know how excited I was when both my daughters got in to college in general, but to have them be legacies, my brother-in-law has experienced that with his kids going to Colgate, and, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that she's doing this.
I'm so happy for her.
You said there's one other? Is there one? You said well, you got still, one more peak? You're going to take a peek at Temple?
We're still going to go up to Philadelphia a week from tomorrow. I think we're going up now, in a weekend after next to visit Temple. Temple has another really well-regarded arts program, and she was accepted there based on her portfolio as well. But VCU is still her first choice, and it's dad's first choice because of in-state tuition.
Yeah, it well, makes in-state a huge tuition, difference. My kids as well. I mean, it was something where it's important nowadays. That it is. It's a major consideration for parents. So she's probably going to go to VCU. It's yeah, looking 90%.
I would say 90% is pretty strong. And it was funny because we've been waiting, you know, the other acceptances we got around Christmas time, first of the year or so. So we've been waiting that long. And Carrie came home.
Did she apply for early acceptance?
No, just normal acceptance. Normal acceptance.
See, both my daughters got, I forgot when they got their word. I think it was February, but I'm not sure. Where they both applied for early admission. So and that's,
Carrie brought in the mail. I think this was Tuesday, maybe. Carrie brought the mail in and she says, and I said, anything, like I always say, because we've been waiting every day. And she says, well, we got an envelope from VCU, but it's big. It's probably just an ad for something. I said, oh, no, the big envelope is good. What you don't want this time of year is a small envelope.
You don't want a letter. Right. You don't want a letter that says, oh, by the way, I could write a book on those letters.
Yeah.
And my letters were, I knew I was going to go to Marist College, but then when I transferred out, I was trying to get my GPA up so I could get into the big schools. And who do I apply? I applied to Ithaca, to the School of Communications, and I'll indicate by the buzzer or the dinger whether I was accepted or not.
Okay, very good.
I applied to Ithaca College.
Oh.
Thank you, no. I applied to Syracuse University's Newhouse School of Broadcast Journalism. Ooh. And then the one came where the school that I wanted beyond any of was Boston University's School of Communications, one of the most a very very good school of communications in the country. And when the letter came in, I cried.
I cried
in my dorm room at Marist College. And then one of the last was my American University application.
Hey,
and, boy, did I have fun at that school! But it's a bit. This is why I think that people get so pissed off about these kids, because every parent that has college age kids that want to go to college, you know,
it hit really close for me, especially this week.
I should rephrase that and say every parent will experience this if they are fortunate enough to have their kids choose to go to college, and they may have the way financially of getting there, whether it be loans. And you see these shenanigans going on, and we'll have a little more about it in news you may not need. And this is, to me, the angry parent equivalent. And you tell me if you think I'm, okay. I might have something here.
All right.
This is the angry parent equivalent to the baby going down the well. For anybody who's a parent, you totally relate to this.
100%.
And for the parents that have, you know, especially what you're going through right now, and I'm just about to go up to a graduation for my daughter. You look at this and you go, Jesus, really?
I know.
Really, it's just the idea of, you know, and I do, there is a part of me that feels some sympathy for the kids. Because somebody wrote
it better
than I did.
Well, they're obviously not. I don't think the kids are the straw that stirs the drink. Yeah.
They're still children, and they get their moral guidance in many cases from their parents. And obviously, in these cases, it's terrible. But for Julia, this is super cool. What is her? Now, you said 90%. So what was her reaction when she?
Oh, she's thrilled out of her mind. She loves everything about the school and the city. What was so great is that I was in my basement doing some stuff for the show on my computer. So I heard Julia come in upstairs, the front door, and my desk is right under the kitchen, if you look at the layout of the house on the second floor. So I could hear her. Bum, 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 bum,
so
bum,
you knew
bum.
The letter had already come.
I knew the big envelope was up there. And I hear, I mean, door shut, 15 footsteps, and then I hear. Jumping up and down, and I go up, and she is literally jumping. She hasn't even taken off her backpack from school yet, and she's jumping around with her acceptance letter and a bumper sticker that says VCU Arts, and that's why
you got a picture of her with the sweatshirt on already. Sure looks like it's going to be happening, and I know you're going to be over the moon.
And what I love is that when I saw this story about this scandal, you know, she is still a kid. Julia is, she's just 18, which is right. so young. But I know that for the last 13, 14 years, she's right. been working at this exact moment. This has been the target for
right.
14 years of her life.
But let's, full disclosure, Rob.
Yes.
And I don't like to do this on the show.
That's fine. That's something, fine.
Is there something, you know, and I know Julia's excited and she has not, by the way, Rofo, she has nothing to do with this. But Rob said he wanted to talk about it. Now you know, we've talked about the enthusiasm. Is there something you'd like to share? You know, would you like to share the photoshopping with the audience? What you did?
Yes. It wasn't actually a bumper sticker that said VCU Arts. It was actually a bumper sticker that said "Smoke them if you got them." So I just wanted to make it look better for her. And
no, didn't you Photoshop Julia's head onto an elite track athlete? And send that into the coach, you know.
Well, that was discussed. What we did is we photoshopped her head on a picture of me doing theater in high school.
And don't you think
it took her in anyway?
This is really parents just that can't say no.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's that they don't want to disappoint their little angels? That's it. I mean, you don't, you know, you.
But when they say that, when you don't want to disappoint your angels, don't you think that really the root of it is being selfish because you don't want the angels to think you can't provide?
Yeah,
and that's what I think.
You don't. Yeah, they're ashamed. It's postponing the pain.
Yeah.
What it is, I've watched. I hate to pick on the kids, but yeah, I've watched a couple of the videos of this. Who is it? Olivia Jade or whatever her name is.
You know? The Laughlin kid.
You know. Yeah. I mean, she.
She could have gotten.
She's an influencer, you know.
She could have gotten into any community college.
If this was risky business, it really isn't Princeton material. Really isn't Ivy League material, is it? You know, you look at her going, I don't know. It's such an interesting story for everybody.
It
and
is.
I hope that the result of it is that they make reforms or they're more vigilant so that kids can get in and they can do that. But congratulations.
Thank you. I couldn't be any more pleased.
When will she be making her final decision?
I'd say we'd have the
answer. There's a small window, right? When they tell you you're accepted, I think they say you got to let us know.
Mid-April. I think it's mid-April that we have to. Well, they don't ask for a decision. What they ask for is a check.
Right.
That's the decision.
Right.
You have to get the deposit in there. So, yeah, we're going to visit Temple and get a steak and cheese and see what happens. But it's going to have to be something pretty sensational to turn it around.
You going to get it with or without?
I think I will go to Pat's and get wit.
Okay, very good. I remember the one thing when I did get American University's acceptance and I went down there and I was going to my, I think it was an indoctrination orientation type thing. And I sat down with the counselor and said, okay, so everything looks really well. You're going to pick up with this many credits that you got from Marist College. And did they mention to you the algebra competency requirement?
Oh.
And then the camera pans away and I'm going, no, which I struggled with for 2 years until they eliminated it after I had passed the exit exam.
So
the
you did pass.
Competent. Yeah, I took a class. I was math challenged.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mrs. Greer. I was math challenged my whole life. Mrs. Greer, who focused on the dumb kids and the super smart kids and those tomfoolery kids in the middle, yours truly, left by the wayside.
I think that's very common.
Typical Greer.
I was not. Yeah, classic Greer. I was not able to. I didn't mention that I could have taken a French competency exam. Should take an English one.
Yeah, but that was not Mrs. Greer. That was Mrs. Gruyere.
That's exactly. So,
fat cheese joke.
I was able to pad out my GPA at VCU by retaking French, stuff that I had already learned. So that was, I actually retook what I had learned in high school and got more out of it in college. But that was one thing I didn't test out of. One thing that I was vocal about and actually changed the requirements, broadcasting, you were required to take photojournalism with an actual film camera. And it was expensive because you had to have a 35mm camera, but also chemicals and film and the paper and all this stuff. Right. And it was really expensive. And I wrote
the pre-digital age.
And I wrote letters to the dean and I spoke to counselors and everything. I said, this is ridiculous. None of us are going to be shooting on film. We're going to be shooting on videotape. Why can't we learn to shoot news on videotape? That's the skill we need. And they went back and
forth. They said, Mr. Spiewak, you're expelled.
They said, you're on dangerous ground, Mr. Spiewak. But no, after I graduated, they did remove it from the requirements. I'm proud of that because I said this is a waste of our money and our time. Because I never take pictures worthwhile, but the video stuff I learned was good.
You know, I never get a chance to thank the people that molded me at American University, but I would like to thank Professor Miller, who is one of the best I've ever had. Also, Professor Bush. Anheuser-Busch was fantastic. just a truly, truly, and really a wonderful, you could really relate to the kids, Professor Pabst.
Oh, yes, especially.
Professor Pabst was just, you know, and it was like, my schedule was really, my first class was 6:30 on Monday. Then then I had classes Tuesday during the day, 2 in the morning, and then no classes on Wednesday. I had 2 on Thursday and 1 early morning on Friday. And if you look at that schedule, and for those, you know,
that's outside play.
Outside of the early morning Friday, which was always difficult, and probably if you looked at my attendance record, the biggest challenge as well. Outside of that, it really freed me up for a truly active social calendar at the American University. And I had a great time there. And salute to the president of the Alumni Association now, former ExxonMobil counsel, Mr. Rob Johnson, who was a classmate of mine and actually paid attention in school, not only graduated with honors from American University, went on to Georgetown Law and became a lawyer for Big Oil. And you
hey,
know, right
that's
now,
terrific. Yeah, good for him.
Isn't that great? He helps with the alumni, and then he walks around pooping out $500 bills. That's what he does all day long. Way to go, Rob. Attaboy.
Did he take any Monday classes?
If you looked at this guy in college when I was hanging out with him and you said, this guy's going to be the richest guy that's graduated from the class, you go, no, you're full of it. You're high. 420. We'll take a break.
You pothead, come, Rob.
Come back with the news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Don't look at me. What? I'm not bailing you out of this. She's questioning
remember when you.
You
said they're
you're
inviting
the one that
it?
Said if they're, hey, if they're wearing that, they're inviting it.
That's not, you see, you make it something that it wasn't by using that tone. Because I never used a lascivious tone.
Ethan, weigh in here. You're younger than us. What do you think?
I think that, to be honest, all guys basically wear no shirt if you're at the beach or at the pool. Like,
but if you don't want to be seen, you could wear a shirt.
You could. Yeah. But, I mean, most people that wear a shirt at the pool or at the beach have some kind of condition where they get too cold in the water.
That's not the condition. The condition you're thinking of is obesity.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
You missed it, Rofo. Yesterday I had a tantrum about that promo because I had a funny line during that segment, too, and they used Rob's instead of mine.
God damn it. They stepped on Mike.
Yeah, okay, Pony.
The tantrum's available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's a fact. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35.
This is a fact,
I'm,
Mike.
Done I'm and done. I'm looking at him right now. By the time you
look
notice,
like after and after.
Listen, Hims customers, we can't save Rob or Rofo, but the solution is out there. For you, 4hims.com. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. 4hims.com connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Real prescriptions backed by science, no nonsense. Plus, no waiting rooms, no awkward doctor visits. I hate doctor's offices, so I love 4hims.com.
Yes.
Remember, it's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. So act now. Order now. Our listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost you hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/TMOS. That's FORHIMS.com/TMOS. Don't wait. 4hims.com/TMOS.
News.
I know I've dwelled on it all week long, but I can't help it. It's a fascinating story to me. Lori Loughlin got canned from the Hallmark Channel yesterday.
No!
Sorry, Lori.
Oh.
The network said, "Oh, was that the Darren McGavin?"
Oh yeah, a little bit.
Like when he comes home blind.
Yo, oh, Ralphie, what has brought you to this low place?
It was soap. Anyway, Lori Loughlin got canned from the Hallmark Channel. They said, "We are saddened by the recent news surrounding the college admissions allegations. We are no longer working with Lori Loughlin and have stopped development of all productions involving her." That includes the series When Calls the Heart. By the way, if Mr. Santana was here,
yes,
when your boy here mentioned that their careers are going to be trashed, and he was disagreeing
no,
with
no,
me.
No.
You want to pretend Oscar's here? Read the story. I'll do Oscar.
Oscar, she was canned from the Hallmark Channel.
No, no, no. She's going to come back. America loves a comeback story.
Okay, isolate that, please. That includes on the Hallmark Channel the series When Calls the Heart, which she's been on since 2014. There's no word on the future of the show yet, but it won't air this weekend. No more garage sale mysteries for Lori either.
You know, this is sad because this means
America loses, Rofo.
This
America
means they have to stop production on 6 movies in which a lady who is a businesswoman in Chicago comes to her hometown and is taught the true meaning of Christmas by a handyman. Well, who's handsome but honest.
My Thursday just fruited up.
Well, in what could even be a bigger bit of news, there are so-called sources out there saying that Netflix is canning her from Fuller House as well. There's nothing official yet on that. On a related note, Lori's 19-year-old daughter, Olivia Jade, just lost her deal with Sephora. They had recently teamed up for a cosmetics line, and unfortunately, she doesn't have an education to fall back on anymore because she and her sister, Isabella, have decided to quit USC for obvious reasons. Has there ever been a more, a greater demonstration of you don't screw around and you don't cheat, because look how many lives, Lori and your husband, you have ruined in this situation.
And you think that's bad. It turns out yesterday Olivia locked her keys in her car. Oh, I mean, just a rotten day.
That day. And the hits keep coming for her and Felicity, including a new class action lawsuit to the tune of, quote, no less than $500 million. They're not the only defendants, though. A woman named Jennifer K. Toy.
What's her name?
That's just a funny. Jennifer K. Toy.
Woohoo! Hi, I'm Jennifer Toy.
She filed the suit against all the parents involved in Operation Varsity Blues, as well as other defendants. Jennifer's son applied to some of the schools. I don't know if that's going to get traction. I don't know how you do that.
I don't think you can do that.
No.
I'm glad that Miss Toy is getting some spin in the news.
Jennifer K. Toy. last year, I like this story because I like Woody, and I didn't always like Woody, but I like Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Last year, Woody Harrelson was up against his 3 Billboards co-star, Sam Rockwell, for the Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Sam won. Was Woody jealous? Heck no. He voted for him.
Really?
I love this story. Yeah. Woody's been nominated for several Oscars, and in a new interview, NBC's Willie Geist asked him if he gives much thought to winning. He said, quote, not at all. I honestly don't. Last time I voted for Sam Rockwell. I love this story.
That's great.
His performance was astoundingly great. So I don't know. And listen, this is the quote from Woody that kind of makes sense. And this is the way everybody ought to look at it, including me. I should be thankful more often.
All right.
It's kind of like, I feel like I got an award with my life. What an award to get this life. I don't think about it. I did years ago, but I figured out that wasn't your payoff. That's a great way to look at it. He's got a great life. He makes movies and he's famous. Who cares about 10 minutes in an award ceremony?
And you know what else? Thank you for celebrating Earth Day.
That's back when I didn't like him. I was younger.
That's when he
didn't appreciate things, right?
But he's better now. I like him.
He's better now and he's a great actor and he's made some great movies. Way to go, Woody. Your honeymoon is supposed to help you relax and bond after all the chaos of planning your wedding is over. Here we go, modern America. Listen to this.
Right.
Well, it used to be true that you get away on your honeymoon with your loved one. An article in the New York Times says
and lose your virginity, Mike. That's what happens on your honeymoon.
The hot new trend, according to the New York Times, is, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Separate honeymoons.
What?
It's called a unimoon or a solo moon. And it's where both people go on their own trip after the wedding.
Not okay.
What a fabulous way to start off a marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. Either with friends. Oh, yeah. Bye. Because have the bachelor party weekend. This
after
is
the wedding.
After the wedding.
Yeah.
So take a solo moon, either with friends or by themselves. Not being able to agree on a destination is one reason couples do it. Are you kidding me?
I can see a solo moon working, say, after 20 years.
Yes, it's a wonderful idea.
Yes.
It's called a golf trip. For example, one couple they talked to had to go on separate trips for work right after their wedding. So the groom went to Paris and turned the trip into his own personal honeymoon, and his wife went to the Dominican Republic. Well, that's not exactly, if it's work-related and you're lingering for a while and calling it your own honeymoon.
Then what you do then is you go to Paris, you go to the DR, but what you do is then you go together, and that's your honeymoon.
Right.
Because it...
Doesn't it fit into what we all are nowadays? Of course. Yeah. Just the love of self being paramount, you know, and it's like, well, if you love yourself, you ought to, well, don't worry. I love myself. I'm going on a unimoon, but when we have kids someday, I'll promise you I will buy their way into USC.
I was going to say, I bet Lori Loughlin is ready to take a unimoon right about now.
She and isn't it kind of strange that Felicity Huffman, who was, I think, probably a more recognizable star
than
Lori Loughlin. For sure.
But Lori Loughlin spent more money, but she also rose to the top with her kid and everything. Mm-hmm. It's terrible, but she did it. Here's something I bet you didn't know about Shaquille O'Neal. He holds the record for the largest singular purchase in Walmart history.
No kidding!
This is great. Shaq just did an episode of the YouTube show Hot Ones, you know, where they eat the hot peppers and stuff, and they eat wings, and the guy interviews him at the same time. It's a great concept. Yeah. He dropped this little fun fact about himself. He said, quote, I got traded from Miami to Phoenix, and I had an apartment that I got in one day. 3-bedroom. Nice apartment. So Shaq hit up a local Walmart for supplies and ended up spending $67,000.
Do you know how great it would be if he went through
that line?
No, if he went through our website.
Yes. This weekend, do the Shaq trip.
Shaq trip. See if you can get that record. It's attainable.
He said, quote, I got to do my Shaq voice. What got me was the TVs.
I love Shaq.
He's still my number one.
That's great.
I would give anything. And he went on another show and talked. God, I hate that. Imagine if we got that. Wouldn't that be great? I got TVs because I ordered about 6 TVs.
About.
That's what got
me. I like it. About 6 TVs.
3-bedroom, 6 TVs.
That's about what you need.
Shaq. I love Shaq. And now a little something, something. Customers and the owner of Jean Nicole Hair Salon told deputies they feared for their life when Tracy Denise George Sirleaf approached the shop. Machete in hand. This happened Monday evening in Lee County, Florida.
Lee County.
My home, ladies and gentlemen.
So that's local for you?
That's local for me.
Oh, so I don't even need to ask where it is. It's right there.
Yeah, the shop's owner, quick thinking, kept everybody safe, but the responding deputy's patrol car has had better days. The Lee County Sheriff's Office told a television station that the lady became unhinged, grabbed her things, and then left the shop. She went to her car, but came back moments later in a rage and threw herself against the glass window. This happened right down where I live.
Wow.
Cool. Detectives say she again went to her car, but returned wielding a machete.
Say it like G. Gordon Liddy.
Machete.
Thank you.
Machete. She was wielding a machete. The shop owner locked the door, quick thinking, as she approached. Other customers dialed 911 as she swung the weapon in the air. Deputy said she got within 7 or 8 feet of the door before suddenly changing directions.
Oh, no. She's changing directions.
She set her eyes on the owner's truck, implying that she would hit it. Now, here's the problem. There were two labs in the inside at the time, so the owner must have just been dropping in for a brief moment. Or she's an animal abuser!
Hates dogs!
The suspect reportedly turned her attention to another car just as a deputy arrived and ordered her to drop the sword. Drop the sword! The deputy repeated the command several times before the lady complied. She put the blade down, and the deputy collected it as evidence. He then handcuffed her, placed her in his patrol car for questioning. Unfortunately, that's when nature called, and the suspect defecated inside his police car.
Oh, no.
Authorities took the 43-year-old to the Lee County Jail. If you're down here, don't go to the beach. Go to the Lee County Jail. It's much, much
How many times have you done the tour?
Oh, it's great. I love taking Michael there for and they give him an Orange Julius afterwards. She faces 2 counts of assault on a person 65 or older. Okay, it was elderly person.
That's nice.
Yeah. What do you call that down here? A pretty nice little Thursday. Welcome to my town. Yay. Yes, sir. She's got a machete. Stop the lady with the machete. We'll take a break. We've got the last audio vault of the week right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Greetings, faithful TMOS listeners. It's Maddie, the cheese queen. The guys asked me to step in while Oscar is on vacation, so I've been adopting all of his habits to make it seem like he was never gone. Things like vocal warm-ups. Meow, 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 meow. Ordering around the interns. Ethan, can you go grab my Starbucks? Speaking like a businessman. Guys, There's a lot of moving parts to this business, and some of the best practices to achieve core competency and to leverage dollars is to give 110% in mispronouncing everyday English. Hey guys, let's go get some pizza. Filling in the void is never easy. So luckily, the TMOS app is your one-stop shop to download all of the episodes featuring the three principles. And that's as good as some freshly shaved Parmesan and a glass of Italian Chianti. Damn it!
Thank you, Maddie. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Today's TMOS French-derived word of the day is lagniappe. Rob Ford, what does lagniappe mean?
I don't know, Mike. What does lagniappe mean?
Thank you, Rob.
Well played. I didn't just know like in rehearsal.
Actually, it means something offered as a bonus or extra gift, often given by a merchant to a customer. Like the 13th donut in a baker's dozen. Savvy? Mm. How'd I read that one pretty
I'm
good?
Perfect. Right? I forgot I wrote that.
You see, it's good business practice to offer a bonus. That's why we offer you animals a sixth uncensored episode of TMOS every week. The TMOS bonus show.
Yes.
Remember, the future of our show depends on it. So please buy our show. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content and you'll be helping TMOS. So buy it, try it, and dig the good sounds of the bonus show. And go ahead, eat those 13 donuts. You deserve it. Peace, brother. And now, let's open up the audio vault. The last one of the week, always spicy with Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I love that we do the French-derived word of the week.
Thank God it's Friday!
All right, I'm shameless with this because yes. I love when you talk like Bill Walton. But there's another reason behind this.
Boy, I love doing my Bill Walton impression.
I watch occasionally the show American Pickers because I hate them so much because they go and basically financially rape old people out of things that are worth things, okay?
Okay.
So, but one of the phrases they use that really rubs me the wrong way on American Pickers was used by Bill Walton last night at the Oregon-Utah game, and that's honey hole. And his co-host, Dave Pasch, called him on it on ESPN. So here's Bill Walton and the honey hole.
Kenny Wooten can make that type of play. It changes everything for the Ducks. If he can handle it there at the honey hole, then you're going to have a chance to come up with a whole different variety of offensive attack.
Why don't you explain that term? What is the honey hole?
A honey hole is a long-term basketball phrase where it's right at the free throw line area. That's where the honey is, right?
Right.
We were talking about Winnie the Pooh. It all rolls into one, right? You're looking for the honey. You like honey, right? So you get to the honey hole, and then good things happen. And when you're playing against the zone defense, when you're playing any kind of basketball, you want to get that ball to the free throw line, the honey hole. So that's what's going to set up your offensive attack.
Just wanted you to explain it. Didn't know it was going to take a minute, but Tillman at the line.
The honey hole is where Donnie Tillman is currently standing.
I love the fact that during that
play-by-play rock, that play-by-play guy rocks. Absolutely rocks to lead him like that. That's great.
And what's so great is you heard three big cheers during the honey hole explanation. So something was happening.
They're missing calls left and right.
Left and right.
We're going to talk about this honey hole.
We're going to talk about the honey hole. Right, Bill Walton?
Now, there's a bit of a problem when I come home and I say to Mrs. Walton, where's the honey hole?
Oh! Yeah, is Mrs. Dirty. Walton a tall woman?
Yes, she is. Yes, she's maybe if I had the processor working, I could give you a little. Mrs. Walton.
Maybe next week we can talk to Mrs. Walton.
Yes, where's my honey hole?
I figured, isn't her name Jill?
Jill Walton.
Jill and Bill.
The honey hole.
Yeah. I never knew it either. I'm glad he explained it. It's nice to know that it's right at the free throw line, the best, easiest place to take a shot. But heavy defense usually in the honey hole, right, Rofo?
I mean, absolutely, especially with the zone defense, like he was referring to.
The zone defense, you want to protect the honey hole.
Get to the honey hole, and then good things happen.
Okay. A phrase.
You send that to me, please.
Of course. You had not heard the phrase honey hole. I had never heard the phrase slam dunk hole in one. Have you ever heard that?
Well, yeah, but not slam dunk is, a slam dunk is a basketball term also. When you talk about a slam dunk hole in one would be a ball that goes into the hole on the fly and doesn't bounce on the green.
Which is what happened to Ryan Moore yesterday at Sawgrass. Did you see this?
Was it at 17?
It was at 17 on that island hole, that thing.
You know, if it was not far away and it's up in the northern part of the state, I would be at this tournament.
I love that tournament. The Players' Championship.
Next to the Masters. And by the way, Rob, I've you know, I've explored.
Yeah.
And ka-ching da jing, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, my God. It's so expensive to sit on that hole. You know, they have all the packages and stuff like that. And, you know, you get there. This is really a great tournament. And they moved it to March instead of having it in May. And it's a great move for the PGA because it generates the heat prior to the Masters. So yeah. This is a great golf hole. One of the most beautiful in golf. And, yeah, slam dunk is when it goes
amazing.
In on the
fly. Here's Ryan Moore landing the ball literally in the cup.
That'll run 21 Moore. Shot.
This needs to go. Oh, my!
He hits no, the stick, it. And that's in. That is a slam dunk for Ryan Moore. Perfection.
Can't believe I haven't seen it. I only watched about 2 hours of the tournament last night.
The amazing thing is when you see it, it looks like a special effect. It looks like it couldn't happen.
Wow.
Can I say something? I slam the Weather Channel all the time about not giving people what they need, which is the weather.
Yeah.
And when you're watching the Weather Channel, you'd like to see what's going to happen, like the cyclone and all that.
Sure.
And they do things like storm stories and crap. The Golf Channel is the polar opposite. The Golf Channel has elevated their game to give people that crave that content of live golf and recorded golf from the day that they play at night. They're killing it.
And you
I
know
hope
what?
Their ratings are through the roof because they deserve it.
They also do a great job on social media. If you follow them on Twitter or Instagram, that's where you can find those amazing shots, and they're right there in your phone.
Wow. Way to go, Golf Channel.
Man.
Good job.
Alex Trebek, I think we're all rooting for him, and we talked about what a classy, classy way he handled his announcement. He doubled down on class. Check this out. He put this out on Facebook.
Saw it.
Hi, everyone. I just want to take a few moments to say thanks to the, believe it or not, hundreds of thousands of people who have sent in tweets, texts, emails, cards and letters wishing me well following my recent health announcement. I've heard from former contestants. Even Watson, the IBM computer, sent me a get well card. I'm extremely touched by the warmth you have expressed in your comments to me. I'm a lucky guy.
I love him and good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him. And he if you know, I had said the night before when the same champion was on, I'd said, you know, does he looks different, and he does, and I know he's in the fight of his life, and really just he's handling it with dignity, and that's why I got mad at the people on social media that didn't acknowledge that.
You
acknowledge
shouldn't be
the
mad
man's
at them.
Dignity.
Yeah,
just
please.
Acknowledge his dignity because he's doing it the way we all should do it. Way to go. And boy, pray for a miracle for Alex Trebek. It'd be great to see him pull through.
And while you're talking Alex Trebek, you're talking about dignity, you're talking about intelligence, you're talking about class.
That's
and speaking
correct.
Of which, let's talk about Cardi B, who says if she ever appears rude when you meet her, and I'm sure you will eventually, we all will have our 15 minutes with Cardi B.
Yeah, she'll be in Podcast Village soon.
She's not ignoring you. She's just talking to the voices in her head.
So I'm having a problem, right? Like a lot of people be saying, oh, I met Cardi B and I don't know if she liked me or not because she was looking at me like if I'm crazy or if I was retarded or something. But that's not the problem. The problem is that I have a voice in my head that while I'm talking to people, it just start having a conversation with me and I be replying back. And then me and the voice in my head start going back and forth, why are you talking to me? So I'm really not paying attention because the voice in my head... it's talking to me.
Now, Mike, we used modern scientific technology to actually get a tape of the voice in her head.
All right.
Would you like to hear it?
I most definitely would. I really
Here's
would.
The voice inside Cardi B's head.
Get to the honey hole and then good things happen.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Oh, my God. Another one in the can.
The honey hole, Cardi B.
I won't say anything. I'd be in trouble.
That's right.
Lots of people have been... No, all right. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, respect your dignity.
That's right. If you have a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with 2 B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. I can't get out of my head. I'll be thinking about Honey Hole all afternoon. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com to click the banner that says bonus. Get our bonus show. It's easy to get, and we'd appreciate that for Oscar Santana, Rob Ford,
yeah,
Rob Spiewak, Pony Boy Matt Bloom, Maddie Masiello, all of our interns. Mike O'Mara, thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day. The Mike O'Mara Show. Thanks for sitting in, Rofo.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Get to the honey hole, and then good things happen.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
That's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Goodbye, do you?